And Aris HaTorah Perek Tes, Sif Yud, page Nun Gimel, Neis Godel. In this part of Aris HaTorah, the cook returns to a very, very big Yisoy that we see so much on his holy mind, that one should not become small by thinking about the smaller Prote Protim of Halacha, of Yiddishkeit. And we learned last week how it's possible to make a mistake. But sometimes a person takes a certain prat and he has a big spilus in that prat, and that could prevent him from moving on and seeing things in a bigger way. On the other hand, how it's so important for us to be able to learn every single prat of Torah, b'simcha, and to be able to somehow see something bigger in each tiny piece of this puzzle of the Ratzon Hashem and Teres Hashem. We were talking a lot about that last week. Now, there are, in this Nakuda, again, it's hard to explain. And we're trying to learn together to understand on our level. See if you'd. Shemesarev bepilpul achepitz the samech esasim bepilpul adaraisa. I'm sure that many of you know that there was quite a bit of a debate regarding this topic. How much pleasure is one supposed to have when learning Torah? Now, it sounds odd. Why shouldn't you really just have a great time? Why shouldn't we all enjoy Torah, and why shouldn't that be the greatest pleasure that we have in life? And yet, there is a school within Klai Yisrael, there's a mahalacha within Klai Yisrael that understood that perhaps when a person takes personal joy in his learning, that's on the cheshbon of Torah Lishma, that perhaps that is impacting his ability at that moment to learn Torah purely for its own sake. And those who are familiar with this know that the Avni Nezer, in his introduction to Gleital, wrote very, very, very strong against this view. And he says that the ikkikim of Torah is to learn the Torah Simcha, and the Simcha is the whole tachlis that the Bereshon gave us the Torah, is that it should be a shashua for us, that we should delight in it and enjoy it and have a geshmak in Torah. And there's a very big oimek to this discussion, even though it sounds like, you know, how could anybody even argue with that? Right? These are all great people we're talking about. And very edel in the kudus of Lishma and Shalai Lishma. And it's quite obvious that there certainly is what to be concerned with. And there are many people, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit in the Seals of Shamshir, that there are people whose attachment to learning is entirely a matter of personal pleasure and enjoyment, and intellectual excitement, and it's an adventure of the mind. And that's also a katnus, a terrible katnus. So here Rav Kook writes, Kshemes arva pilpul, when mixed in to one's pilpul in learning, is achefes the sameches asma v'pilpul deraisa. When what's motivating this person in his pilpulim, in his learning, in his in-depth learning, when he's entering into these complicated discussions regarding prote protim of Torah and Halacha, when mixed into that, there is this desire of l'samech es atzmai, to bring joy upon himself, l'pilpul deraisa, with the pilpul of Torah. So if Cook says, ein zen nikra Torah shaloi lishma, Chas v'chalila. Rav Kook says that that's not called Torah Shaloi Lishma. Chas v'chalila. He says, Chandav, he says, Chas v'chalila. You notice that? He got right to it. Chas v'chalila. That's not called Torah Shaloi Lishma. But look carefully at the first word. The first word of this if is Kshemis Arev, meaning when there's a certain ingredient of that, when it's not that which is the reason that he learns. That's not what's bringing him to Talmud Torah. It is just that excitement of the mind. It's kshemis arev bepilpul. And that, of course, is what Avner Ezer was talking about as well. Kshemis arev bepilpul achefetz the sameches atzmoy bepilpul teraisa. That together with, or not even that it's the main purpose of his learning. The main reason to learn is tveikus b'Hashem, ratzon Hashem, kutshibuch yisov haraisa. Everything is the right thing. All that we've been learning about, that's why he's learning. But there's kshemis arev, but mixed into that is also l'sameches atzmoy. L'sameches atzmoy bepilpul teraisa. One of the most moving things that I ever saw, and years ago I read it together with the Chevra, many of you have seen it, is Rabbi Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is describing how lost and empty he felt when the shiva for his wife ended. And he describes there how during shiva, so there were so many people and there's so much going on, that you know, the mind is doesn't have that stillness to be able to think about as much, to think about what's missing, what was lost. So he describes, you know, it must have been so hard for him to say this, but he actually said this, Barab, that it was after shiva, and he walked and he came back and he said, and the ilum is gone, everything is quiet, and the house is empty. And he said that he couldn't find himself. He didn't have to fight. And then he saw on the table. He says, I saw my Rebbe was there. He's the Rambam. So the Rambam was there. So I said, Rebbe, I don't know what to do. I need some help. So he said, he opened up the Rambam, and then he saw that it was unbelievable. The Ravid had the nerve to argue with my Rebbe, and I felt it was my responsibility to defend my Rebbe. And then he writes about, and then he says, and then the Ran jumped in, and the Rashba jumped in. It was a whole big thing, and he was saying that it was this and that and this and that. And he said, and then he just said, Lulei saros ha-shashuai azavarti ba'ani. Hashem, if not for your Torah, that's my delight. I would have been lost in my misery. And that's what revived him. That's the Simchas HaChaim of a Jew, is Pilpul of their Isa. So he says, that's not called Teresh Lo Shema Chasachilut. Ki Etzem HaSimcha. He says very simply, Ki Etzem HaSimcha, joy itself. Etzem HaSimcha. Ba'asoras ha'atzvus, and the effort that a Jew makes to remove sadness, to drive it away, who gam ke mitzvah, it's a big mitzvah. It's like Rabbi Aaron Kalina Susan said that everybody knows that, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it's a mitzvah, but we know that all mitzvahs depend on simcha. And even though it doesn't say that atzvus is an aveira, it doesn't say clearly that sadness is an aveira, but we know that it causes all aveiras. All aveiras. Simcha itself, and the removal of sadness of atzvus. It's a big mitzvah. It's in the mitzvah. Rav Kook says it's in the mitzvah of halachta bedrach, of hatovas amidus, of working on amidus. There's a negative mida that's called sadness. That's called atzvus. We have to try to fight against sadness. And there's a wonderful mitzvah that's called simcha. Simcha is not, we've learned this all the time over the years, simcha is not a mood, simcha is an avayda. Simcha is an avayda, it's a mitzvah. Simcha is one of the mitzvahs. And all of the mitzvahs, we have to work on tikkun amidus. To be mamed, the inyan of simcha in a person's life, is an avayda. It's bechlal hatavas amidus. So, removing sadness and increasing joy, This is part of the mitzvah of v'halachta b'drachav. Mahu afata, just as Hashem is Baruch is happy. Or is v'chedva ben kaimai, Hashem says he's happy. So we have to be happy. Just as Hashem is Baruch is v'yisatzir liboy, and he Hashem is Baruch kivyochel works to get rid of sadness, that there shouldn't be any sadness. So that's our avoda, to get rid of sadness. She's school also shall tire. And we use, and how else do we fix our midas? What other equipment do we have? What do we have at our disposal to work on our midas, if not tire? So that pilpul deraisa, that through pilpul atayra, that a person is able to come to himself and is able to fix his midas of the midah of simcha and to be mezgabra on the midah of atzvus. So of course says, how could that be tayra shalai lishma? That's tayra lishma. Tayra lishma therefore doesn't only mean tayra for the sake of understanding tayra. It means tayra for the sake of all that tayra does for a Jew, and what tayra does for a Jew is it uplifts him, it causes him joy. That's also called Torah for the Torah's sake. Torah's sake doesn't mean like those other tzaddikim that believed that Torah for Torah's sake means Torah for the sake of understanding Torah. Zehu. That's what it means for her own sake, just for Torah, to understand Pshat. So the book says, Torah is not just for our understanding. Torah is for our improvement, for our change into bigger people. And that's also called Torah Lishma, Torah for her own sake. That's what the Torah is about. That's what the Torah wants. It's not just she wants to be understood. She wants also to be loved, appreciated for what she does for us and how she helps us. The Torah wants that. It's not called, in any way we're not being distracted or unfaithful, Chalila, to what the Torah wants from us. That's what Rav Kook is. That's what he's saying. Ein zenikra Torah shel lishma chas v'chalila. Yud Aleph. Still, it's very, very, here Rav Kook is telling us, still, it's very common, as I spoke about a minute ago, it's very common that when you immerse yourself in these pilpulim of Torah, it's very common that you can drift away from the Noisen HaTorah, that you could drift away from the Noisen HaTorah. This was the problem that we had, Shalai Baruch HaTorah Tchila, that as the Rishonim explained, Rav Yonah and the Ran and other Rishonim explain. Amma of the Aretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael? Why was there Churban? Why was there Golus? So it says in Pasuk that Oz was Tayrasi. So Chazal explains Shalai Baruch B'Tayr Tchil. That we didn't make Birchas Tayr. What do you mean? Every Jew makes Birchas Tayr in the morning. It's the hard thing to make Birchas Tayr. So the Kadmonim explained that it means. Shalai Baruch HaBetar Tchila means that we were learning Torah, but we weren't thinking of the nice in that Torah. Shalai Baruch HaBetar Tchila means, of course, everybody said Berachas HaTorah, Baruch HaDeshachus Shomazor La'asugud La'aldevish, whatever you say, and Baharav Na, everybody's saying it, but we weren't thinking at all, or we weren't thinking the way we should have thought during our learning about the nice in that Torah. So it's very common that when a person becomes very caught up in pilpulah deraisa, in pilpulim of tyrant, and each thing leads to another thing. It's very possible that a person should find himself far away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh shehanofim harachoykim shal pi pilpul. It happens that through the branches of Torah are very, very long, very long. They stretch out very, very far into all kinds of subjects, all kinds of topics. That it's such a topic that it takes you out into such an inyan that you could forget, that you're not thinking about Torah Lishma. Yes, enough from Rechagim shall be pilpul misracha kim erayim shall terror lishma is a kol echelafim adregas hakarose beruchni satayra. Each person according to his madrega in recognizing the ruchnius. The ruchnius of Torah means what we're talking about. The bari olam, the creator of the world. This, you know, you feel this very, very strongly if you go. If a person hears a lecture about Torah from some professor who's not a Yirei Shamayim. Not that you know how to measure anybody's Yirei Shamayim, but someone who's not an Oved Hashem, who doesn't seem to be so much of a, you can't judge people, but someone who's not so committed to Torah mitzvahs, and you hear a lecture on the subject of Torah, or you look at a sefer. I remember I was reading there's a certain yid that wrote some svarim. He wrote some svarim on the Zohar Kodesh, and he wasn't always in that way of learning. He wrote in his hakdama to this sefer that he wrote, which is a very good sefer. He wrote in the hakdama that his first introduction to Pnimi Satoy, to Kabbalah, was that somebody gave him to read Shari Oira, to learn Shari Oira. Shari Oira is one of the most basic Sifrei Kabbalah. To learn Shari Oira. And he said that this was an edition that this individual gave him, was an edition that was annotated by a big professor, who's not known as Yirei Shamayim, but he's a big maven. I don't say maven's now, a yad'an, a person who's knowledgeable in these things. And he wrote an edition. He published an edition of Shari Oyer with his annotations and his cross references and so on. And this person wrote in Hakdama that he was trying and he was trying and he was trying, and he just didn't feel any connection to it. And he spoke to somebody about this. He spoke to Adam Gadol that he was learning Shari Oira, and that he wasn't feeling anything from this limud. And the Adam Gadol asked him, which mahadur, what are you learning? Which edition of the Shari Oira? It's been printed so many times. So what are you learning? So he said that he confessed that he was given this and he was learning this. It's the Shari Oira. It has the actual Shari Oira in it. It has the regular. The professor didn't touch the Shari Oira. He left that alone. But on the bottom, he notes and this and stuff. So he fixed what he felt with some things in the text, I guess. So this Adam Gadol told him, so what do you expect? How are you supposed to have a geshmak? How are you supposed to feel anything with that? It was written in a cold way. The whole thing was put out in a cold way, and it's with a career, and it's with a shalai lashma. It's for a PhD, whatever else the kavan is. So then this fellow writes that he went into Meir Sharm, and he bought himself an old, a regular Shari Oira, you know, Shari Oira. And he said that his whole life was totally changed, and that it was shining, it was a fire, and it Shari Oira, it changed his whole life. And these things are kaseida. I mentioned to you once before that they made a big kinnus. Because I was saying about Rabbi Yosef Weber before, they made a big kinnus. I don't remember if it was in Hebrew University, or it wasn't. It was in Chuslars. It was in a big university in Chuslars that they made a kinnus to give lectures on the Rambam, on Maimonides, because it was the 800th yard site. Or 800th birthday, whatever, the 800th birthday of the Rambam. No, the 800th yahrzeit of the Rambam. It was the 800th yahrzeit of the Rambam. So they made a kinnus to get together, and they invited Rav Soloveitchik. So Soloveitchik's response was, I didn't know that he died. There's a very big difference. The Rav knew that he died. He says, by me, he's alive. And by you guys, he's dead. That's a very big difference in how a person learns Torah. I remember I was zeicher to see my Rebbe, Rav David Lifshitz, Zeichen Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha. I remember that he would say a svara from his Rebbe, from Shimon Shkok. He would stand up And he would start to shake. And he said, "Shamati Mimori V'Rabi Reb Shimon." It was like a pacha. Mimori V'Rabi Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon never died. The Torah's Lishma is warm, and that's what the Torah does for us when it's Lishma. So sometimes he says, "Yesh anofim rechayim shal pi pilpul misrach mi'arayin shatayr l'shmai etzal kol echel l'fi madreges hakarosu baruch nisatayr mitoch kach nushu reitzel is dabik b'tayr l'shma." Therefore, if a person wants to always be misdabik, to attach himself to tayr l'shma, ulahazgi pilpul b'dakus in yom ha'maisim. At the same time, you also want lahazgi means you want to soar, to fly, to raise yourself up in this inyan of what of learning. Of pilpul, but dakis, you know, on a very deep level, to go into the dakis, into all these inyanim ha'maisim, into all the practical inyanim, meaning in that limud, in that way of pilpul. But you want to be mizdabik, but tera lishma. You don't want to drift off. You don't want to fall off from, go away from that tera lishma. So the Eitzir of Kook says is that Tzarech Lahamik is Hergeshe HaKadosh Be'erkei Shol Teru Kedusha Saklolus. You have to constantly deepen this Hergesh, this feeling, this Hergeshe HaKadosh, this holy feeling, Be'erkei Shol Teru, what the value of Teru is, the Erech of Teru, what it's worth, what it is. And the Kedusha of Torah. You have to stop and you have to think about it, like Nefesh Chaim also says, and all the tzaddikim, that you have to remember, you have to be mamek that hergish. The holiness, the great, the Torah is not like anything else. Ad shetovai ahargosha, Haklolus de midas toikev godol va'adir, so that this feeling that one has reaches a point ashatovi hagosha haklolus lede midas toikev godol va'adir, great, powerful, strong feeling. It's so strong ashatitan koyach ba'anofim harachaykim oid, that it reaches even those branches that are far, far away. When the tree is strong and the tree is healthy and its attachment to the earth is in the right way, then the koichas of the earth reach, even though it's a big redwood, whatever, it reaches a little leaf all the way, far, far away at some branch that's hundreds of feet high and away. It reaches that place, and even that leaf at the end of that branch, which is hundreds and hundreds of feet away from the ground, it has a hergish, it has a feeling of where it comes from. It has a hergish of where it comes from, and it looks down at the tree all the way, hundreds of feet down there. I mean, I don't know how tall they grow, the trees, they grow very tall. And it looks down at the ground and says, "Shkoyach, shkoyach. I appreciate all that you're doing for me. I don't forget for a second where I come from, the sherish of who I am." And the leaf feels that, and the leaf acknowledges that. So when a person is learning Torah, in the course of any Seder that in learning, I'm not talking when the person is sitting, when people are sitting learning Tanya, or they're learning Nefesh Chaim, or they're learning Musar, Chassidus, or Machshava, we're talking about how Machshava could happen, because even the word Machshava is already a cold word. Hashkafa already is much colder. The word Hashkafa is a very cold word. I don't think you could count five times over the last 19 years that you heard me say the word Hashkafa about Torah, because sometimes it slips, but I don't like the word Hashkafa. Because Hashkafa means from far away. Hashki from Himan Kadjacham and Hashamayim. It's like from far away. It's not a warm word, Hashkafa. They didn't have Hashkafa by our grandparents. They didn't have. Machshava is also not such a warm word. It's better, but it's not such a warm word. So when a person's learning the Svarma Kedoshim, so then you're right there. You're right by the Shairish. But it's much harder when you're learning something that takes you off, and to say the limud, that you're learning something that's way, 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 way far away, one of those branches that you think, what does that have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that have to do with HaKadosh? What does this thing that we're talking about have to do with HaShem HaShem? What does that have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So It's very important. That's what Kook is saying. Achatovia Hagosha, you have to think about it. You have to be mamik in this hergish, to stop every now and then, to be mamik, to go into this. The erikas of the kedushas, Achatovia Hagosha, close to the midas toik of golov adir, Achatit and koyach ba'anof marachaykim ha'oy. Till this hergish is so strong that it's able to reach even the that branch that's far, far away. It sounds like it has nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not true. Every single thing in Torah, even if it sounds like something which is so far away and it's so distant, and it's talking about some shaila that there could be a tshuva written for 1,000 pages and it wouldn't have to mention Hashem once. Still, this hergish is so strong that it reaches even that distant leaf. This hergish gives the strength, gives its strength even to those distant branches. That are born, that come into existence because of a person using his mind in a way of charitzus. He's very ambitious and very, very strong in using his mind. And when you're learning that way, that's what's going to happen. You're going to go off into different inyanim, and these anofim don't talk about Hashem, and it doesn't seem to have any religious content. But one has to be thinking very strongly like this. To the point, Shagam Heng Yismashchu Meharayoin HaKadosh Shalter Lushma. To the point that even those distant branches that grow so, so high and so far away from the root of Torah, which is the Noisen HaTorah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even those should be drawn after that Rayon HaKadosh, that holy thought, Shalter Lushma, of the Bari Olam. Of Noisen HaTorah, that Torah is not just something to think about, because that's what happens when a person's entire learning is in such a way, chas v'chalila. So then it's not connected to the Noisen HaTorah, and then all of the problems start. Yud Beis. So here, Rav Kook begins what will turn out to be one of the major topics of the Sefer, of the second part of the Sefer. The question of when is a person allowed to learn Pnimius HaTorah? When is a person allowed to learn Pnimius HaTorah? Now, I will tell you that there has been tampering with Rav Kook's view on this subject within his own family and by some of the Talmidim, that there have been distortions regarding his view on this inyan of a person being Isaac in Pnimius HaTorah. We'll judge for ourselves. We'll just try to understand and to read his words. And even though they're hard, but it's, I think it's clear. Baha'i Klala. Regarding this rule, this klal, this principle, Shle Yitayel, that we find in Halacha, Shle Yitayel Bepardes Elamisha Milay Kreis of Abbas of Yayin. That one is not allowed to go for a tiul, to go into the pardes. The orchard, of course, means of the secrets of Torah, of Pnimius HaTorah. Elamisha milei kreisa bevasa v'yayin, unless you're a person who has filled your belly with meat and wine, which means with shas and poskim, with nigla, with the revealed Torah. So this klal, That only a person who has filled himself with the bus of a yayin of Tyre is allowed to go spatzering, to go for a stroll, meaning to go into the orchard of Pnimius Atayra. Shav Kook says very clearly, this clearly says, Yeishleimer dahein v'misha bo la'asois rak if yichoyves Atayra mitzad ha-din. This only applies to a person whose intention is to do rak if yichoyves Atayra mitzad ha-din, just that which the Torah demands and what the Torah expects, what the Torah requires. But a person who feels in his heart a great longing and a desire to learn hadvarm hapnimim, the inner world of Tyra. Lahaskil, next page. Bamitase Yisbarach, to try to understand the truth of Hashem Yisbarach on a deeper level. Harihu Bechlal, he has shifted into another klal. He has moved himself into another principle of Talmud Torah, which is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. La'olam yilmad adam Torah b'makom shelibay chafetz. That a person should always learn, which we spoke about these past few weeks, that a person should always throw himself into learning Torah where his heart desires. B'makom shelibay chafetz. Obviously, and Rav Kook himself is going to give many conditions of how and so on. But this principle of La'olam yilmad adam b'Torah b'makom shelibay chafetz, which depends on chafetz halev, the longing of the heart. So the fact that his heart is filled with such a longing is Hashem's way of talking to him. We're not talking about somebody who's unstable, who's not well. V'chulu v'chulu. We're talking about a serious person who's shomer mitzvahs and has been learning and always doing the right thing, trying to do the right thing. So then Hashem speaks to him in such a way. Kevin shemastam bevada yeshal zekish miyuchad. If he has such a chayfetz alev, if he has such a longing in his heart, it must be that he has a certain talent, a certain skill, that he's ready for this. And that itself proves that it's the Ratzon Hashem. That he should be Isaac in the right way, with the right svarim and the right teachers. All of that, we're not going to talk about that right now. He should be Isaac in Yedias Shmoy Yisbarach, to be among those who are Loimdei, not just Loimdei Sarasecha, but Yoidei Shemecha, to know Hashem's name. To be Isaac in Yedias Shmoy Yisbarach, to know Hashem, to know Hashem's name. Hashem, but Hashem's name. Like, you know, like there's a famous teaching from the Koskel. He said, when the Gemara said that, back by, you know, it was by Gamliel, you know that there were people that were appointed, there were bouncers that were appointed to guard the door to this medrash, right? That people shouldn't come in. That people shouldn't come into this medrash. Only those people who are what? Taiche Kevara, one of those people who are inside and out. Taiche, the inside, was Kevara, was on like a meyatza. Sidakotsky asked, who were these guys? What kind of guards were those? What kind of God? How do they know that? They probably never heard that. Shlomo Kalbach always said, you never know. You never know who this person is, right? So who are these shomrim? Can you imagine, they have these shomrim, they're standing outside of this medrash, And they would, and, they, and a guy would come there, and they would look the guy over, and they would say, "No, you're not Toichi Kivaru." What does that mean, not Toichi Kivaru? Who are you to say that Toichi Kivaru? Who they had there? The Baddest Ali was standing there? Who were the Shoymim? So the Koska said, they can let anybody in. But the guys who were Toichim Kivaru, they managed to get in. That's what he said. They found a way in. That's what think what the Kosker said. They found a way to get it. The ones who were not Teichim Kavaram, they were discouraged. They were discouraged and they said, "Oh, I guess we're not allowed in." They were discouraged. But the ones who were Teichim Kavaram, it was burning so strong. There was such a chukka, there was such a chayfas, it was burning inside of them. So my father goes inside, always says that you have an eitzah gefunden. A Jew has to find an eitzah how to get in. So those Yidden that were Teichim Kavaram, they found an eitzah how to get in. Well, however that was. Traditionally, you pay the guy. That's how we've been doing things for a long time. You know, but you have a gabbai that says you can't come in, so that only means he needs a little bit more money for tuition, for other things. But you find a way to get in. So if Cook says, there's a klal. We know there's a klal, that a person is not, should not go be metal with paradise. You don't go into the paradise. The klal is there's a shema that says that interviews him and said, "Listen, you know all of Shas and Poskim?" This guy says, "No, I've tried, you know, but I don't know Shas and Poskim. I'm not like a big person like that." So then the shema says, "Well, it says over here that you can't come into the paradise unless you're filled with Shas and Poskim." It says over here. These are the instructions. So then those people will say, "Oh, okay, I'm a Kabbal that. That's not the Chelik entire." And they don't have to go in. Maybe they shouldn't go in. But then there are others who start to cry. And they stand there and they start shaking the guy, the Shomer, and they start crying and they beg him. And they say, "You don't understand, I can't live. I can't live without going in. I'm going to die. You can't do this to me. I can't live. My way of knowing Hashem is too shallow, it's too empty. I learned this, I learned that, Masech, I learned this, I can't live like this. I can't." So then the Rav Kook says, "Oh, Azoy," then the Shema says, "Then we have already a different kind of a Jew over here." Then he takes out another katis, another thing that says that if you that La'olam Yilmad Adam Makam Shali B'Chafetz, that you should go and learn where your heart is telling you, and you command, you can come in. This is your katis, you get in. That's how it is. That's what Cook is saying. And so Hashem is speaking through that Shukas Halev, which like a Tzaddik says, is a Jew's Ruach HaKadosh, what his heart tells him. Again, the person has to daven very, very strong. We're not yet in the Lamaisa of this. And because the Lamaisa, the person has to daven very, very, very strong, they shouldn't be deluding himself and Behu. And that it should be the right way, and so on. And it should be the right limud for him at that time. And that this is the voice of Hashem that's speaking to you. And that you can't come to yourself, and you feel that you can't go on without this. Not that it's something you find interesting, or would be really cool to talk about, you know, with people. That, hey, what do you think about Zeranpin? Kuchabrichu, what do you think about that? It's interesting, isn't it? That Chukas Halev, Rav Kook says, Skeven Shemastam Bavade Yishla Zakishim Yuchan, is an Atzma, Muchach Shezor Ritzan Shkosh Baruch Hu. That Chukas Halev, that he can't, that longing of the heart, that he can't live without it. You go tell a guy when he's crazy over a girl that, that you should think about something else. If he's really Meshuggah, then unless she's married, he's going for it. There's some crazy people that even if she's married, they'll go for it. But you tell a guy that's Meshuggah in love, tell him that, you can't go over there. You can't. So if the guy says, "Okay, so there are other girls." So that means that that's already something else. But if he says, I have to. So there is such a tshukas halev that a person feels. Again, that in the marshal, of course, the marshal have to be very careful that the all kinds of delusions of that Indian too, that have to do with the stam, the taivas, and the goof. If it were in a pure way, it would be such a thing. If somebody had gone over to Yaakov Avinu when he saw Rachel and would have said, there are other girls in the neighborhood, to Yaakov Avinu. Because Hashem is about his speaking in such a way. And that doesn't mean that the girls always have to be careful. If some guy comes over and says that my heart was telling me this, you'd be careful that those guys, you have to watch out for those guys. Yeah, I know the heart's telling them, but it's not telling you anything, then don't get married to them. That happens a lot of times. You have one that says, my heart is telling me. The other one says, I haven't heard anything. So then just stay, don't marry that person. Just, I depress you'll forgive me. I have to be someplace on more pinkless. So we'll end over here on a good note. And we have a lot of work to do over here. So in the meantime, don't open up your Shari Ari yet. We'll continue with this.